his ministry with you here in Glengarnock. Maybe if we open our Bibles, can we please, in John's Gospel and chapter number 1. John's Gospel, please, chapter number 1. John 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I speak, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Let's just ask for God's help, shall we? Our Father, we do just come into thy presence this evening. We thank thee for thy word. We really feel, our Father, the need of the very same Spirit, our Father, who worked there in the days of the Lord Jesus. We feel the need, our Father, of the very same Spirit to reveal Christ to our hearts this evening. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We know, our Father, that this word is living and powerful. It's able to speak to us if we have ears to hear, and if we have hearts, our Father, that are open and softened to receive the word of God. We ask, our Father, that thy Holy Spirit would really give us help, and help, our Father, us to speak well of the Lord Jesus, and help us, our Father, to be challenged and to be encouraged. We think, our Father, of the wonder of these verses tonight, that out there, out with our Father, the very boundaries of the universe, one eternal being, and that at one time, our Father, in this world, that eternal person, whom we know, our Father, is God, came into time as the person of Jesus Christ. We think, our Father, of the wonder of that. It's hard, our Father, for us to understand it, but help us, our Father, to get something of the greatness of Christ tonight. We pray, Father, that thou would really speak to us. And we ask, our Father, that the Holy Spirit would work in our lives. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Three little questions that I have in mind from John chapter number 1, from those verses that we've read together. Where do you start when you start to speak about the message of the gospel? I suppose you start at the beginning, and it's good for us all, whether we're Christians or whether we're not Christians, to begin at the beginning and to actually ask the basic questions, isn't it, as to what this is all about, this gospel message. And John chapter 1 really begins at the beginning. Literally it begins at the beginning. And three particular questions I have in mind tonight. The first question is very simple: how can I find God? And if we're going to think about God in a general kind of way, we surely are interested as to how we find him. And that's true if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. It's true if you're a Christian as well, because sometimes we can run our Christianity, we can run our lives in a kind of automatic pilot.
and we know that there is a God, and we come to meetings, and we come on a Sunday, or we come on a Tuesday, or we go to your church, and we do a Christian thing, but sometimes God's as distant from us as he is from our next door neighbour. So John chapter 1 deals with this big, big question that affects us all. How can we actually find God? And then secondly, the other question that is ever so important, isn't it, is what is God like? What is he like when we find him? We can have all sorts of ideas about what God is like, but and lots of people out there, of course, will tell you that they've found God, and they seem to have an idea of God that is very, very foreign to what the Bible speaks about. So first of all, how do we find God? John chapter 1 deals with that. Secondly, if we were to find God, what would we expect him to be like? What is God like? And thirdly, if I actually do find God in that sense, and I actually have an experience of God, what does that do to me? What does that do to me? Are we just trying to sell something here when we're preaching the Word of God? Are we just trying to sell an insurance policy that is effective after death? Or does an experience of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, actually have an effect on our life? And John tells us why it does. It definitely has an effect on our life. So three very simple things. Number one, how can I find God? Number two, what is God like? And number three, what is the result of finding God on my life? And there's three words. I don't like using big words, especially not when we're preaching the message of the gospel, but I'll throw them at you, and if you find them helpful, then maybe you can keep them. If you don't, you can throw them back at me. How can I find God? That's a great truth of revelation, and it's very important from the beginning of the Bible right to the end of the Bible, and I might use that word tonight, the revelation of God. And that's important because there's two approaches to get into heaven, a right way and the wrong way. There's two approaches to getting to heaven. The first approach is to try and work up to heaven, like a kind of stepladder thing, and to try and eventually get there. But the Bible tells us that God works in the opposite way. It's not about us trying to get up, it's about God coming down. And in fact, that's a very basic message of John chapter number 1. And it's the message of revelation. So the way into heaven comes out from God, and God reveals himself. He speaks in his word here in John 1, and he speaks most of all, supremely, finally, completely, and fully in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So how can I find God? Well, answer, revelation. We'll develop that in a moment or two. What is God like? What is God like? Answer to incarnation. Incarnation. God has shown us what he is like by something supremely miraculous. The God of the universe, as we'll come to in a moment, has come into time in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter number 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. That is the eternal person that we refer to as God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if we want to know what God is like, the Bible tells us he's Jesus. He's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what God is like, he's just like this, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. So question number one, how can I find God? Answer, revelation. Question number two, what's God like? Answer, incarnation. And question number three, what happens when I meet God? What happens if I have a personal experience of God in my life? Well, let me just quote a verse or two here, shall we, from John chapter number 1. Listen to this, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Transformation. Transformation. He changes life, doesn't he? He gives us power. He gives us authority. He gives us authority, we'll find later on in Scripture, authority over Satan. He gives us power and victory over sin. He gives us power to live a victorious Christian life. He gives us a life-transforming power. He changes us into the very image of the Lord Jesus. So, three basic questions. How can I find God? Revelation. Secondly, what would God be like if we managed to find him? Well, Jesus Christ is what he's like. The incarnation. And thirdly, if I claim to have had an experience of God,
what would happen? Transformation. The different person changed, marked by power. Marked by power. And marked by a life-changing experience. So let's just think a moment for a moment or two then about some of these things that we have in John chapter number 1. How can I find God? The revelation of God. Look at verse 1 with me, would you, of John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can I find God? John chapter number 1 opens up the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, as John would write about it, and he presents to us what I suppose is a very strange name for God. We hear lots of names for God, don't we? But this is a particularly strange name for God. It's the name Word. That's a very strange thing to call. We get used with it, you see, and we stop asking questions. But actually, it's a very strange thing for anybody to call God Word. But in John 1 and 1, John tells us that one of the names that we would link with God is Word. Why is that important? It's important for this reason, that if we in our hearts and our lives are seeking to know God and seeking to get right with God, then John 1 and 1 tells us that we're onto a winner. It tells us we're onto a winner. Why? Because God in his very nature, in his very essence, is a God who is interested and a God who has already revealed himself. It is part of the nature of God to reveal himself. And so one of the names that is linked with God, right the way through John's writings, and in particular this first chapter, is the Word. So God has revealed himself. God has spoken. I'm interested in knowing God. How to do it? Do I need to become, do I need to join some kind of cult? Do I need to really pray a lot? Do I need to join some kind of organisation? Do I need to buy magazines off of Jehovah's Witnesses? They'll sell you God for £1.50 at the door. Is that how I find God? No. The God of the Bible, the God of the universe, the God who made me, is a God who is interested in revealing himself to me. That's a fascinating and an important thing to realise. And in John's Gospel, the revelation of God just explodes out into humanity. The person of Jesus Christ, God, comes into time as a person, and as he moves out, he finds people and he touches their lives. Oftentimes people that could never ever find him, but he finds them. So in John chapter number 4, for example, there's a woman, and all she can think about is getting some water in a bucket. That's the level of her spiritual experience. She's got these kind of minuscule views of the world. You know, she's just totally focused and caught up on her day-to-day routine. She's got no bigger picture than that. So she comes to a well with this bucket, and she just wants to get some water in the bucket. That's it. Yeah. Never mind the big questions of life. What am I here for? What happens after I die? Is there a God? How do I get rid of my sin? How can I get saved? Forget that. Just get water in the bucket. We had some meetings in Newcombe like a few weeks ago, and one of the things that we did was we went round the doors inviting people to the meetings. Some of you maybe know that I work in Newcombe like as well as a GP, you know. And we go out the doors, and you always got a very friendly response, very polite, maybe not very interested, but polite. And you invite folks along to meetings, you know. We're having some meetings in the Gospel Hall, and thinking about big questions in life. Why are we here? And what happens after we die? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we be saved? How can we get rid of our sin? Thanks very much. Do you know, my knees know any better? My knees know any better. That's the kind of response you've got. My knees know. But see, a shooter. There was an inability, a genuine inability, amongst men and women, to think above the knee level, to think anything bigger than above the knee level. My daily aches and pains, what I'm going to have for my dinner, the problems at work and the family. And the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, the Word, the eternal person of God, comes into time and he begins to speak with people. And some of them, you know, are people that can't think above the knee.
this woman, she comes to the well. The Lord Jesus Christ says to her, "Give me to drink." Conversation ensues. Lord Jesus Christ offers a living water. "If you knew who it was that was speaking to you," he says to the woman, "you would have asked of him, you would have asked of the Lord Jesus, and he would have given you living water." You know what the woman's reply was? "You don't have a bucket." "You don't have a bucket." She can't think above her knees. She can't think above the bucket. "We want water in the bucket." But here, in John's Gospel, God's revelation of his Son, the person of Christ comes into town and he begins to reach people who can't think out with a bucket. And that woman has an experience of the Lord Jesus at the well. He meets her at a well. And then a little later on you'll find a man who can't walk lying at a pool for 38 years. He would never find God. He couldn't walk. But God finds him. The Lord Jesus Christ draws close to the man lying at the pool of Bethesda. A little later on you'll find a man who's blind, can't see. He would have a little chance of finding God, wouldn't he? He would have a little chance of ever finding the path to salvation. He's blind and has been blind from birth. And yet into his blindness the Lord Jesus Christ walks and moves and touches his eyes. There's a tremendous verse at the end of that section of John chapter number 9 as the man speaks to the Lord Jesus and asks him who the Son of God is, and the Lord Jesus tells him, "You've seen him." You've seen him. But in John's Gospel, God is revealing himself in the person of the Lord Jesus, and the revelation is coming out from God. It's coming out from God, and it's touching men and women in their lives, men and women who couldn't make it to him. Couldn't make it to him. God has spoken in his Son. How can I find God? The answer that John would give us is that God finds us. God has found us. "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." In the beginning, says John, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We were hungry and we were thirsty, and our souls were empty, and we were in need of salvation, and God has given his Son in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word of God has come into time, and he has lived that perfect life that he might die on the cross for our sins, that he might suffer and offer himself as a sacrifice. So stop trying to scrape your way up the ladder up to heaven, because God himself has revealed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the person of Jesus Christ who has said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And if I'm going to get to God, I have to accept his way in the person of the Lord Jesus. What is God like? What is God like? How can I find God? Find him in Christ. What is God like? The person of the Lord Jesus. You know, there was one person that I met as I went round the doors inviting folk to the meetings. There was a few people actually, but there was one person in particular I remember who had a real interest in the message that we were sharing. He was a chap in the village who was a kind of amateur astronomer. And I happened just to make a comment about the way that the solar system worked, you know, and how carefully God had made it all. And just how the Earth is at the right distance from the Sun. Quite lucky that, you know. Quite lucky. A wee bit closer, we would all be roasted alive. A wee bit further away, we'd be frozen to death. And how lucky it is that the Earth is spinning at the right speed. If it was a wee bit faster, we'd be thrown out into outer space. If we were a wee bit slower, we'd be swooped into the Sun. That was lucky as well, wasn't it? And how lucky it is that our moon is the only moon in the solar system that doesn't go round about the equator of a planet, and it has a wobble, and that stops our Earth spinning out of control into outer space. That was lucky as well, wasn't it? He said, "You know, you're right." He said, "It's not luck, is it?" He said, "You know, I've got a diagram of the solar system." He said, "And, you know, it's just like clockwork." I often wondered about that, just like clockwork. He said, "You know, the planets round about, they have a pull on the gravitational field of the Earth as well, and that keeps us steady too. And And the pull of the moon, just the right size and mass of the moon and all the rest of it, just keeps all of our tides moving. He said, that is amazing. I said, and have you ever considered the bigness of the universe, Bobby? He says, yes, you know, he says, I have. I said, they tell me, Bobby, that there's 1,000,000,000 stars in the night sky. He said, aye, Stuart. He said, but you know, that's just our galaxy. That's just our galaxy. Don't be narrow-minded, Stuart. It's much bigger than that. There's 1,000,000,000 galaxies in the universe. And in John chapter number 1, John makes this amazing statement that in the beginning was the Word. There's that God who creates 1,000,000,000 stars and 1,000,000,000 galaxies. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So this Word is indeed God, because everything was made by Him. So if He made everything, then He wasn't made. And John 1 and 1 tells us that the Word is indeed God. So this is God, the God of that 1,000,000,000 galaxies, 1,000,000,000 stars, the fine-tuning of the universe. And then, says John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The vastness of the God of the universe came into time as a person. What would we expect Him to be like? Three things I would expect of such a God coming into time. First of all, I would expect that if God came into time, if I could meet God, first thing I would expect is I would expect Him to have control over creation, because it's His. John 1 and 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. So if I met God, I would expect Him to have control over the creation. Secondly, if I was to meet God, I would expect Him to have control over life. Why? All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. So if I ever meet God, if I ever find God, I expect Him, first of all, to have control over creation. Secondly, I would expect Him to have authority over life. And thirdly, verse 4 of John 1, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's a light shining in the darkness. I would expect God to be able to shed some light on all of my hard questions. What is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ like? Well, number one, He has authority over creation. And the person of Christ, as we follow Him through John's Gospel, we find Him there in John chapter 6, and He'll take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He's able to feed 5,000. He's able to multiply material objects. John chapter 6, He's able to calm the storm. He's got authority over the wind and the waves. John chapter number 9, He meets a man who's been born blind, and that's a bit of a problem, isn't it, born blind? We can deal with cataracts today. As long as you were born with eyesight, we can take the cataracts out and give you back what you used to have. But here's a man, and he's born blind. He's going to need eyes. He's never had them. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll go down into the dust and take some dust, spit on it, put it on the man's face. He'll create him a pair of eyes. It's not a problem. It's God. If I were to find God, I would expect Him to have authority over creation. The Lord Jesus Christ here in John's Gospel, He has authority over creation. If I was to meet God, if I was to find God, I would expect God to have authority over life. And in John's Gospel, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ will come to a grave. He'll come to the tomb of a man called Lazarus, and Lazarus has been dead for a number of days, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able to deal with that man, Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Authority over life, hasn't he? And what about the hard questions? What about the hard questions? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Somebody, some time ago, asked Buddha what God was like. Put him on the spot. Here's Buddha's answer to what God was like. Buddha said, "My ideas about God are as valid as a chicken's idea about the world before it comes out of its egg. In other words,
Don't ask me. I don't know. In the Quran, Muhammad says, as to whether or not I'm going to heaven or hell, I do not know. Don't ask me how you get to heaven. I don't know, he says. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, and the disciples come in John 14 and ask him the hard question, how can we know the way? What's the way to heaven? What's the way of salvation? What are we going to get? Are we going to get, I don't know, don't ask me? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ says, John 14 verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Absolutely straight, clear answer. You've asked the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God himself, how do I get to heaven? He gives us a 100% emphatically clear answer. Not only that, but it's totally exclusive. Not only that, but it depends upon a personal living relationship with him. He presents himself, and let's not miss this, he presents himself personally and uniquely as the only way into the presence of God. That is some amazing statement to make. That if you are ever going to get to heaven, you must come by me. I'm the way, and nobody else is the way. How can he do such a thing? He can only do such a thing if he is indeed God, as John says, as John presents that he is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He can only present himself as the unique way to God if he is God, and he can only present himself as the way to God if he's able to deal with my sin that keeps me out. Because right away from the beginning of the Bible, right away to the end, sin keeps me out of the presence of God. Sin separates between me and my God, says Isaiah. It's sin that keeps men and women from heaven in the last two or three chapters of the book of Revelation, and results in men and women being cast forever into the lake of fire. And in the person of Jesus Christ, I have the solution to my sin problem. Because he who knew no sin, the person of Christ, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He suffered for our sin, he's died for our sin, he's the substitute for those who will trust and believe in him. He was wounded, said Isaiah, for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the punishment of our sin was put upon him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, what's God like? He's like Christ. He is like Christ because Christ has authority over creation. He's like Christ because Christ has authority over life. Jesus Christ is God because he can answer my hard questions. And what happens when I have an experience of God through his Son, Jesus Christ? Well, John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. Faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ brings salvation power. For God to give his Son, and for his Son to die for my sins at the cross of Calvary, must mean that my way to him isn't good enough. It must mean that what I can do is not acceptable. And if God has finished the work in his Son, there's only one thing that I can do, and that's accept what he's done. Lord Jesus Christ, later on in John's Gospel, the third chapter, you'll meet a man who knows ever so much about the Bible. A man called Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. Comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. Nicodemus is the kind of archbishop of the day. He's at the top of a religious pile. Lord Jesus Christ, as far as men were concerned, was the carpenter from Nazareth. And the archbishop says to the carpenter of Nazareth, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. What a tremendous statement. I'm coming for you to teach me, says Nicodemus. What did the Lord Jesus Christ have that Nicodemus didn't? No man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Lord Jesus Christ had power, and the Lord Jesus Christ had reality that Nicodemus lacked. He had a veneer of religion. He had a church thing. But that experience of God was absent in his life. John 3:16, the Lord Jesus Christ opens up the thing that is absent and missing from the experience of Nicodemus. And in John 3:16, the Lord Jesus Christ will present the same thing that we have here in John chapter number 1, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation by putting our faith and trust in the person God has given and in the sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ has made. Let's pray. Our Father, we do just come into thy presence tonight. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We do pray, Father, for a blessing upon thy word. We thank thee, our Father, that whenever we think about him, there is indeed a blessing for us. We really pray, Father, that thou would really draw us close to him. We thank thee, our Father, for the word of God that is all about Christ. We really pray, Father, that thou would refresh us and give us a passion for him, a passion, our Father, that would indeed flow out of us. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples in this very gospel, that whosoever believeth in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We pray, our Father, that those rivers of living water would flow in Newcomnock and in Glengarnock and round about in Kilburnie, as we would just enjoy in our own hearts and souls the Lord Jesus day by day. We offer thanks, our Father, for him in Jesus' name.